Power and the Glory by Graham Greene. Chapter 1. Mr. Tench went out to look for his ether cylinder, out into the blazing Mexican sun and the bleaching dust. A few buzzards looked down from the roof with shabby indifference. He wasn't carrion yet. A faint feeling of rebellion stirred in Mr. Tench's heart, and he wrenched up a piece of the road with splintering fingernails and tossed it feebly up at them. One of them rose and flapped across the town, over the tiny plaza, over the bust of an ex-president, ex-general, ex-human being, over the two stalls which sold mineral water, towards the river and the sea. It wouldn't find anything there. The sharks looked after the carrion on that side. Mr. Tench went on across the plaza. He said, "Buenos dias," to a man with a gun, who sat in a small patch of shade against a wall. But it wasn't like England. The man said nothing at all, just stared malevolently up at Mr. Tench, as if he had never had any dealings with the foreigner, as if Mr. Tench were not responsible for his two gold bicuspid teeth. Mr. Tench went sweating by, past the treasury, which had once been a church, towards the quay. Halfway across, he suddenly forgot what he had come out for. A glass of mineral water? That was all there was to drink in this prohibition state, except beer. But that was a government monopoly, and too expensive, except on special occasions. An awful feeling of nausea gripped Mr. Tench in the stomach. It couldn't have been mineral water he wanted. Of course his ether cylinder, the boat, was in. He'd heard its exultant piping while he lay on his bed after lunch. He passed the barbers and two dentists and came out between a warehouse and the customs onto the river bank. The river went heavily by towards the sea between the banana plantations. The General Obregón was tied up to the bank, and beer was being unloaded. 100 cases were already stacked upon the quay. Mr. Tench stood in the shade of the customs house and thought, "What am I here for?" Memory drained out of him in the heat. He gathered his bile together and spat forlornly into the sun. Then he sat down on a case and waited. Nothing to do. Nobody would come to see him before 5. The General Obregón was about 30 yards long. A few feet of damaged rail, one lifeboat, a bell hanging on a rotten cord, an oil lamp in the bow. She looked as if she might weather 2 or 3 more Atlantic years, if she didn't strike a norther in the Gulf. That, of course, would be the end of her. It didn't really matter. Everybody was insured when he bought a ticket, automatically. 6 passengers leant on the rail, among the hobbled turkeys, and stared at the port, the warehouse, the empty baked street with the dentists and the barbers. Mr. Tench heard a revolver holster creak just behind him and turned his head. A customs officer was watching him angrily. He said something which Mr. Tench couldn't catch.
"Pardon me,"
Mr. Tench said.
"My dear."